Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Oh, Jess, you made it to my birthday party. That happened 3 months earlier than it was supposed to. You've made it. Yeah.
I love that they try to make new canon in the show. Like, Alan's always been obsessed with his birthday. And it's like, it's been 7 years. Since when?
Who doesn't love a birthday?
I do love birthday.
We do. Some people. You know who doesn't like birthdays? Capricorns. They hate birthdays.
That's because their birthdays are sad. They're in the middle of winter.
Yeah. It's very close to Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They're the leftovers from Christmas. They're like, oh, I guess here's another gift. But secretly, like, we split the budget between your birthday and Christmas.
Yeah, that's why they're so sour.
It's true. All right. But speaking of not Capricorns, we have a guest on today. To talk about Family Trees, season 7, episode 12. My husband, Will. Will, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
There you go.
Hanging out.
That's what we usually do. Can I expose Will for like a quick second and say,
of course,
that literally 5 minutes before we started the podcast, I said, oh, do you have a drink? And he goes, no, let me go grab one. And he asks me, do you want any quiet snacks to eat? And I said, we don't eat on the podcast, you monster.
What is a quiet snack? Like, what constitutes?
There's no such thing on a podcast.
I can understand an anti-quiet snack. I mean, that's very easy. Carrots.
Chips.
Starburst, crackers. I think, like, they sound like a quiet snack. But the taffiness is that, like, you're chewing it a lot. Yeah. So it's actually counterproductive. And it's not a quiet snack.
No, there's no such thing as a quiet snack. Maybe you could do like a hard candy, but I still feel like you could hear the movement.
It can move in your tooth or something.
Yeah. There is no quiet snacks. And that's why you don't eat on a podcast.
Yeah. No, you can't eat on a podcast. This is why we don't eat on a podcast.
Well, I know. I don't have any food here.
You didn't bring in any food.
At least he was being considerate. Not even
as a joke. He's so considerate.
Yeah.
But yeah, Will, what have you been thinking of the final season of Boy Meets World now that we're here?
It's the final season, and that's about the nicest thing I could say. There's been some good episodes, but like half of them I really have detested our main boy who's meeting the world here. I mean, Corky. He's never been my favorite character, but he's just been like so offensively bad and in our faces about it. And like, we'll get into it more later with some of the stuff he does. But I've liked like most of the other characters. Like I liked like Eric. I love Sean still. Like Feeny every once in a while comes.
Where
in
was
still.
Feeny this episode?
Nowhere. Not in this episode.
Feeny didn't want to. Rachel was invited to freaking Alan's party, yeah. But Feeny wasn't. What is this?
Yeah, he lives like 300 feet away.
This is ridiculous.
Like, what the heck's going on here?
Yeah, Sarah and I've talked a little bit about this, about like how they really have like hyperbolized, that's not a word, but I just made it up, like over the top, like Eric and Corey have just mm-hmm. become caricatures of themselves at this point. And I don't know, though, this episode, Corey didn't bother me that much. There's like one scene where I'm like, all right, Corey, that's like enough, you know.
Comparatively, no, he hasn't been that mm-hmm. bad.
Yeah. He's been much, much worse in other episodes. But there's still that part like in the middle there where he just like bugs me.
Yeah.
He's selfish. That's what it is. He's just selfish.
He is. Everything needs to go through him. It has to be what he wants. Even if it's nothing to do with him, if it's just to do with Sean and his life and his family, Sean can't make his own decisions. He can't read a letter from his mom. Like,
yeah. Well, you got lucky. You picked an episode that is mostly Sean based. Corey is not in it as much. So let's dive in. We have season 7, episode 12, Family Trees, all centered around Alan's freaking birthday, Sarah. Oh, what is it? 46 he's turning, which I did a little bit of math on that. And I was like, okay, what does that mean for, like, I feel like we originally were like, oh, Amy and Alan had the kids really young. But I feel like they've changed this. I don't know. I'd have to go back and listen to like, or watch again to see if they've said Alan's age before.
I mean, if he's 46, like what's Eric, like 23?
Yeah, 20. Like, yeah, let's say he's 22 just for easier math.
I mean, he basically half Alan's age. He was right around Eric's age.
Oh my God, that's terrifying to think of Eric with a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, we know that they had Eric really, really young. They've talked mm-hmm. about they got married young. They had Eric young. And I think that that's kind of why they're very, oh, the traditional like parent thing to say is like, oh, I want better than what I had. I want more for you than what I had. And I think that that's why Amy and Alan are kind of the way that they are as parents. They grew up struggling with being the grocery manager and they don't really want that for their kids. So we're celebrating this 46th birthday and they kind of have a my favorite thing and yours, a party planning committee.
Yes. Yeah.
Who's party planning committee? We got Amy in here. We got Corey, Morgan. We have our beloved Topanga as note taker.
Yeah, and I feel like this is the correct person to be keeping the minutes.
Well, in his own way, Eric is the head of a party planning committee.
Just the wrong party.
Like his own.
Exactly, his own party. But yeah, they made the party planning committee makes Eric throughout the episode believe that he is the head of the party planning committee. And it's all a sham. It's a Feeny con, right, Will?
It's an Amy con, really. And she says it right to his face. He's like, because you're so stupid, we know that it would work.
And it did. Yes. They're kind of like very condescending to him. They go, oh, you're the right man for the job, sweetie. We know it's you.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. Poor Eric. Just.
I kind of love dumb Eric. I gotta say.
Like, he's grown on us, right, Sarah? Yeah. Like, I was very resistant in the beginning, but he's grown on me because I think that if he had gone the Jack route, he really wouldn't have been as likable.
I love complex and, like, Eric, like, that can get to those more emotional places more. But with how certain other characters have become, like, I think the changes to Eric haven't been as, like, bad and have worked, like, slightly better than others.
Yeah.
I vowed in the beginning of the season that I am not going to bash on Eric, and I have not said a bad word since, nor will I in the future. So Eric is doing his very best. If I'm going to be honest, all he wants is for his daddy to have a good 46th birthday. That's it.
Even at the cost of Morgan.
Even at the cost of Morgan. So let's break down this big plan, because I don't even think that I understand it. But essentially, it has to do with throwing Morgan in the fire to make is it so that Alan can like save the day? Is that the end of the story?
It's so that Alan cannot be around while the party is being like prepped.
No, I think it's just to catch him off guard. They're trying to completely throw him off his rhythm, and then when they get to the emergency room, the party is there.
Eric is a true psychopath. I didn't get that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's very hard to follow the plan, and that's why you need somebody a little bit more organized to really facilitate the party planning committee. Also, there's a debate that was Alan in the Navy, or was he a cook in the Coast Guard? And I always thought that he was in the Navy.
He definitely was, because that's what he boxed in. He boxed in the Navy. That's why he had those boxing mitts from like season one.
I think they could have boxing either place, but I didn't remember.
No, I specifically recall him saying that he was in the Navy. Like that stands out to me as like a note. But if they, who knows, right? I don't know why we're like, because Corey is the one who says Coast Guard and Eric is the one who says the Navy. So I don't know why I'm siding with Eric here, but that's what I remember.
Because the point is that I actually do think that Eric is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, Daddy was a Navy SEAL. Yeah. And he's like freaking out and like shoving Corey when Alan walks in.
Yeah. Alan comes in and he forgets. He's joyous.
Yeah. It's not about him.
Have we ever seen Alan this joyous over anything ever?
I think the only other thing he's been excited about was like when he was trying to spend time with like his kids. Like he was trying to spend time with Corey and trying to spend time with Eric, and then he felt all sad when all he had was Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, I feel like he was excited about. But no, do we know? I'm trying to remember, Sarah. Do we know what Alan's sign is based on this? Like what time of year are we in right now?
Well, they're wearing jackets, but I've never seen them wear summer clothes. So that doesn't.
I was going to say, have we had a Christmas episode?
No, not yet.
They had the honeymoon. Oh, well, the honeymoon.
Oh, but it's the second semester.
It's the second semester. So he must be a spring baby.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe it's March or something.
So he's some kind of spring baby. Okay. I don't know. I was just curious. Well, he feels I can get some Taurus energy from him.
Maybe. The wiki does say that he is he was in the Navy. We have that confirmation at the very least.
That's good.
He was born in the 1950s. Boomer energy.
He certainly has it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. This one says Alan was born on June 14th, as mentioned by Alan in season 5, episode Honesty Night. But his birthday party in episode Family Trees is clearly set in December.
In December?
Okay. Well, it wasn't clear to me, Wiki.
All right. Well, who the hell knows then, truly? But I do love Amy getting so sick of Alan that when he's like getting all amped about his birthday, she's just like, Alan, leave us the hell alone.
Yeah, this whole like party thing reminds me of old like episode seasons ago. Remember when they were throwing the anniversary party for their parents?
Oh yeah, that was a classic episode. And, like,
was it Corey and Eric?
And it
went really bad.
Yes. Good. This is why they need the women helping them, though. Like, this is the exact reason why you need Amy and Topanga involved.
Yeah.
But yeah, and this is when like Sean shows up and he's like all excited because he got a letter from Verna and he hasn't heard from her in 3 years. And everyone is very kind of mellow about this, except for Corey, who very, very strongly against opening this letter. Whereas I feel like everybody else is not even on the opposite side, more on the side of let Sean make his own decisions.
Yeah, because he's a freaking like adult. He can make his own decision to open a letter written to him by his own mother.
I will say, yeah. Will was shouting at the TV in this scene because of how much Corey was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, he bothers me a lot.
The reasoning that Corey had was that your life is going really well right now. You're very happy. You're in a good place. You're doing fine in school. You have a great girlfriend, all these things. But one thing that always disrupts your family or your life is your family. Like whenever they come into the picture, things get messy.
Yeah, and he doesn't, he should say that instead of saying, rip it up.
Like, no, he does. He does in a minute at some point in time. He explains, like, I don't want you to ruin the happiness that you have right now. He has a bad feeling about the letter. You know, Sean's very hopeful about it, but I think Corey has, I mean, it's good intentions, but yeah, it's ridiculous because of course he's going to open up a letter from his mother when he hasn't heard from her in 3 years.
Yeah, that's really fair. Like, I don't think that there's ever a world. Here's what I think they should have done. Maybe this is a better way to do it. Have Angela, have Topanga, even maybe Corey, open the letter, read the letter, and then either give you the headlines or, you know what I mean? Like, maybe say, I think this is very heavy. Like, maybe you need to make sure you're in the right headspace before you read it. Basically, have somebody, like, proofread this letter and make sure that Sean's going to be okay with whatever the contents say. I mean, like, I don't think there's ever a world where Sean is completely ripping the letter up and not ever knowing what's inside of it.
I would have liked it if, like, Sean made the decision himself to, like, hand it to Angela and then she reads it. And
Angela
then,
feels like the prime person you'd pick in this situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give them a real storyline to talk about, like, both of their moms. And, like, he comes in later in the episode and makes note of the fact that Angela doesn't really have a mom there either. Like, I think that would have been really nice.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think that I think that for Sean, there's just, I don't even think that he was hesitating reading the letter. I think that the thing about Sean is that each and every time, and it's kind of sad, but he always keeps getting duped. Like, he always goes back to the empty well. And every single time he's hopeful that this time is going to be different. And we see it on repeat that that's just not the case. Reading the letter for others, it really reminds me of when Joey got her graduation letter in Dawson's Creek.
Yeah.
And she had Dawson read it. And I remember I wasn't that big of a fan at the time either. And I think that you were a little bit more receptive of it.
Sounds right. So yeah, I just think, like, I think that, I mean, on the bright side, Sean is surrounded by friends and family, like, when he does read it. And so he has people there to kind of help him.
Yeah.
But I think, like, I think you're right. I don't think Sean was even hesitating at all. I think Sean was more excited, although I will say he didn't open it the minute he got it, right? Like, he did keep it sealed until he got to Corey's house. So maybe there's something there. But yeah, it really sucks to be Sean and to basically just be kicked and kicked and kicked over and over and over again by your family members. Especially Verna, who, like, where the fuck are you, Verna?
Well,
like,
you wait until Honduras.
She is in Honduras, which is beautiful, by the way. But
yes, it is.
The thing is, like, it's really shitty of her to drop this bomb on Sean, and she's not even there to, like, explain anything. She obviously doesn't even give him, like, a name. You know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah,
well, good are you, you know?
Well, yeah. So he reads the letter, much to Corey's chagrin, and it says, I'm in Honduras. I'm never coming back. And, like, Sean's like, huh, that's nothing new. Classic mom. Mm-hmm. And then she said, I heard that dad died, and Sean has the right to know something. And once again, Corey is trying to persuade him to stop reading the letter. He's very concerned. And the headline is, Verna's not Sean's real mom.
Right.
And that is very shocking for Sean, because that's what Chet has said for 20 years of his life. And everything that he thought that he knew is kind of a lie. And this episode is ultimately about digesting that information.
Right. And it's I get a little bit confused, and like I think the show doesn't do a great job at like explaining what happens next, because we are in their apartment and there's like, it looks like a crime scene type of like murder investigation with everything hanging up. But I don't really understand how they figure out that like there are, they've narrowed it down to like a few women, and none of this makes any sense to me as to like how they arrived here, like how they know these women. Like it seemed like they were going to do like, they're like, oh, we're going to send this in and get more information on this Elaine. And it's like, who the fuck, who are you sending this to? Is this like, what is it, 23andMe, like in the early days? Like what exactly are they doing here? It was a little bit confusing, and not that the show, it's not a drama, it's probably not going to take the time to explain it all, but I was a little lost.
I don't remember where we go from here, like if we find out any more about Sean's like real mom. But like it, when they were down to the three possible mothers, it just reminded me recently on a cruise, me and Jess saw Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to get the three moms into town.
Oh, no, they're all going to sing.
Oh, my God. It's just like Mamma Mia. That's what he needs. Yeah. But the thing is,
Papa Pia.
Papa Pia.
No, it is Mamma Mia.
Well, no, but Mamma Mia, but it's the dad. So in this way, it is Papa Pia.
You know the... Yeah,
I like Papa Pia. Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. So also, throughout this whole thing, like Sean starting the narrative, like I have no family, I have nobody, and Jack's like, "Bitch, I'm right here. I'm like logging into 23andMe for you. What are you talking about?"
Yeah, I felt really bad for Jack throughout the episode, especially because I really, really don't like when Sean says, "Oh, you're my half brother." Like that feels a little rude.
Well,
I don't
know. It's very dismissive, and it's once again how the show, or how Sean's been handling it throughout the show. He is continuously dismissive of Jack, and Jack is very patient and forgiving with Sean, but whenever there's a tiff between them, our boy Sean is the one that starts it or misspeaks or says something bristly. I don't know. How do you feel about the brotherhood? Well,
they haven't really done anything the whole season, like the two of them. Like, have they had any storylines between like them being brothers? Like,
no.
They were both like out with like nowhere to really live at some point. Like, I don't even know. I guess Sean's living with Angela now.
No, now like, it's the three boys again.
Oh, it's the three boys again.
They switched it up again.
Yeah. I don't blame you for being confused.
Well, they were living together, and then it was like...
That was only for like an episode.
Yeah, and then Corey told him they didn't deserve it for some reason, which he was just being ridiculous, and I hated that. Yeah. But like, I liked when they were living together. I thought that was cute. But I guess the three boys back in there, it's like the old days.
It makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way it should have been.
The whole time.
And then they changed it for some reason.
For no reason,
and then they just change it back halfway into the season. Because they just didn't know what to do.
It's musical housemates.
Yeah.
It is.
Because they can.
Yeah.
They can.
How did you feel about... I was going to ask how you felt about Eric's delusional birthday plan. I really did appreciate the props he had made.
So we have a board, like a board with a pointer, which I'm very pro pointer.
Yeah.
It's a picture of Morgan. It's like a school picture plus a skull with a red background. So I guess that's the poison equals Morgan, the school picture with a green face. So
yeah, she's the Hulk Morgan.
Yeah. Hulk Morgan. Then we go to the emergency room and then an arrow to party balloons. Which, I love a balloon. So,
yeah.
Morgan plus poison equals poisoned Morgan, who goes to the emergency room, and then we get balloons. It's a solid plan.
Will, have you heard about Sarah's lung capacity when it comes to blowing up balloons?
Not specifically, no.
Now, would you imagine, you know Sarah, do you think she is good at blowing up balloons, or do you think she's terrible and has no lung capacity?
I mean... I feel like the fact that it's notable means she's bad at it.
I will tell you that I am great at blowing up balloons.
Yeah, she bragged about it. She blew up a 6-foot penis.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, All by myself.
All by herself. 6 foot penis balloon. All by myself. That's a massive balloon.
Yeah.
It's taller than you are.
Yeah. And
wow.
It's because I have such great lung capacity.
Was it one of those ones that's like the Nylar type?
You know what I mean? No, it was like a pool floaty.
Oh, it was a pool floaty penis. Floaty.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want that?
Yeah. Truly. And actually yesterday when we were talking about this, I interrupted you to tell you about the blow up penis, and you were asking me how long I could hold my breath underwater, and I think I can probably do it for a long time.
Yeah. I mean,
have you ever pretended when you're in the pool that you were drowning just to see if people would get you?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well, that's something that I haven't done either.
I would take it for a few seconds and then no one would come. So I would just get out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a sad story. The drama.
I knew I was joking.
Yeah. Well, then this is like the little boy who cried wolf. One time you're actually going to be drowning and people aren't going to save you.
Well, what's a girl to do?
Yep. So anyway, no, I love that Eric also has the plans for if Morgan actually dies. Like, he's like, you know what? It's fine. If she actually dies, that's okay too, because we'll have a horse.
Yeah.
Oh.
We got horsey rides.
Yeah.
Oh, and pony ride with the balloons. With the balloons.
Yeah. And the pony's name is Pete, naturally. Yeah.
He kept saying horsies.
Yeah, horsies. Yeah. Yeah, horsey rides. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's ready. He's prepped.
Yeah.
Well, I love a man with a plan, and I think it's good to have a plan.
Do you love a man with a horsey?
I mean, cowboys. Yeah, cowboys are a plus.
I mean, horses kind of smell. Like, not only that, but they're unpredictable. I don't want to be kicked in the face.
Do to you?
They just poop everywhere. Like, we went to medieval times, and they had designated poop collectors.
I mean, you gotta. They're living things. They gotta go.
Where was this?
In medieval times.
Oh. Okay.
They straight up just poop, and they have to get it cleaned up constantly.
Yeah. So now you're anti-horses because of your time in medieval times.
I'm not anti-horses. I'm just anti-me being your horses.
Wow.
Wow.
They're dangerous animals.
Are you just upset that you didn't win?
I am upset about that.
Yeah.
I
was on a winning streak.
Our guy had the most charisma, though.
He was really good.
He was very good at hyping up the crowd. He gave me a flower. So how'd you feel about that, Will?
I caught it. I handed it to you.
Oh, that's not what I was told.
No. It was aimed for me.
And it went to
I wasn't ready for it.
And I caught it.
There you go.
So that maybe sounds like I really got the favor. I should put it in my hair.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. Jessica, this whole thing is actually not what happened at all. In reality, Will caught the flower. So Will's the special princess. And then he gave you the flower. So if anything, you're Will's special princess.
To be fair, it was like a carnation.
You're welcome.
Which
you threw out.
Because it's a carnation. What am I supposed to do with it?
Well, you didn't even take it back that day.
I didn't. No, I was like, I'm leaving this trash here. It
did not leave the building.
It didn't leave the building.
It got left on the building?
It got left on the table. Because I had shit to carry. We were staying in a hotel. I already had enough shit to carry.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't deserve the flower, Jessica.
Probably not. But you know what? That was my flower. The tomato soup was very good, I will say.
You're shitting on his horses. You're not taking his flower.
Yeah, the horses are shitting. anyway, back to the episode. Yes.
23andMe. They're submitting 23andMe, and then they found out some stuff about something.
Yeah, so we have three suspects. Verna, who we can rule out, according to her, at least. Although maybe she's like, don't come into me looking for money. You know, who knows? There's Ming-Hua, who Sean says we can also rule out. And Elaine.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, did they say how they found the names?
No, that's the thing. They didn't.
Did Chet have a little black book or something?
Oh my, do you think it was his Rolodex?
I would believe it.
Yeah. But, he probably has a computer document of everyone that he slept with.
Ew.
He has a rating system. I don't think that guy knows
how to work.
I was going to say, don't think he has a computer. He well, has just a physical he has a sticky then. Note
yeah.
with all the women he slept he's with.
He's not going to the public library to use the computer.
No.
Like, no, not... probably not. No. So in the but next yeah, the... scene.
No, I was just going to say she was last spotted in Boston.
Oh.
So that's pretty interesting.
It's
but...
not that far.
Yeah.
No, it's not far at all.
Yeah.
So in the next scene, he gets a envelope of his results. Sean is very excited because he's like, I have a mother, like I'm going to open it. And Corey is definitely just in the corner, like bashing this whole entire thing.
I really don't like this. Like I am. There's one thing about like being prepared for bad news and like trying to prepare your friend to hear bad news. I feel like Corey was a Debbie Downer from the start. And like, that's also not helping anyone.
Yeah,
absolutely. So they opened it up and essentially the results were like inconclusive. They were not able to
just couldn't find her
where the whereabouts were because apparently she does not want to be found. So it was. Yeah. Not bad news, but not good news. But Sean did not take it well.
Yeah.
It was interesting because he was basically just like, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm just going to – I have to leave, but don't make a big deal out of it. And everyone knows when right. he leaves, they're like, he's done this before where, like, he's pushed other people away when, like, bad things have happened to him. And so they all were kind of expecting it to go very poorly.
I don't know why Corey didn't chase after him now. Like they all know where it's going. They know it's not going to be good.
I think there's not much Corey can do. Like what are they going to just, you know, follow him around like a puppy dog the whole time?
He has the case of
Corey's done his whole life.
Yep. He has the case of the, I told you so's at this moment. That's what it, that's really what it is. And all, they were trying, everybody was trying to be very logical about it because I suppose that they searched for Elaine and last known last name, and they were saying, oh, she could have changed her last name, like maybe she got remarried, like you don't know. But yeah, it was not a good situation.
Yeah, unfortunately they don't have the social media.
Yeah, no. Right, no social media to find Elaine.
I know it, I mean, and actually 23andMe, actual 23andMe would probably be very helpful too. People find relatives all the time, if not your actual parents, grandparents, cousins, what have you. So it is the day of Alan's birth and Eric comes over and is like, hey, dad, like, how's it going? And Alan is having the birthday blues right now. Major birthday blues. He is so depressed because nobody is throwing him his birthday. He probably got no presents. He is, you know, really feeling it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is really funny. I really love Sad Dad Alan, where he's just like, no one cares about my birthday. No one's even here.
Yeah.
I don't know how he didn't think this was a ruse.
Well, like, I don't know. I've never had a surprise birthday party. Will, have you ever had a surprise birthday party?
No.
All I want in the world is for somebody to throw me a surprise birthday party. Nobody cares enough about me to do so. But I have been talking about this for years, haven't I, Jessica?
You really have. This is
I have.
True.
It's the only thing I want is for somebody to throw me a surprise birthday party, just like Alan. And every year passes and there's no birthday party to be had.
So sad.
Yeah. One day. One day I'll get my due.
One day someone will throw you a birthday party.
Yeah. But not today.
Not today.
Because it's Ellen's birthday. So, yeah, basically now Eric is hinting that the surprise birthday party is tomorrow. And Alan's like, what the fuck? Like, this is my birthday party today. That makes no sense.
I think I agree with Eric here, where like the least time you're expecting a birthday party is the day after your birthday. This is like, my mom was almost going to turn 41. So her birthday's in September. So it was the summer before she turned 41. And my dad threw her a 40-ish birthday party that summer and surprised her because she wasn't expecting it. Because, hey, my birthday is not for another month. Mm-hmm. It's a great idea.
I feel like it's better to do it before than after, though, because then the person isn't on their birthday wondering why no one is caring.
That's fair. And also, can I be honest? This birthday party was shitty.
Yeah.
It was like literally like five balloons and a cake. Like, that's not even a party.
You can't even get a Feeny appearance. Like, what is this?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's that. And it's also the fact that it's just Eric and Corey's friends. It's not and the family. There's none
Where
of
Amy and Alan's Where's friends.
His old bandmates.
Where are the monkeys?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, anybody. But also, 46 is not a notable birthday. It's not 45.
Do you think he requires a birthday party every year? This is probably why no one showed up. Because they're like, ugh, we just went to Alan's 45th. Like, who cares about 46?
And that was a huge bash.
Yeah. I mean, that episode where they had the anniversary party and it went bad, I remember both Alan and Amy getting very, like, incredulous about it. Be like, couldn't believe that their sons couldn't give them a correct party.
These Matthews are obsessed with parties.
To be appreciated.
They really do. Their love language is parties, I suppose. So then what we have at this raging party, Sean comes in and he's stinking drunk.
The thing is, I think by today's standards, it was not super obvious Sean was drunk.
I couldn't tell until they reacted.
I thought that, like, they really should have done the, like, oh my God, Sean, your breath, or something like that. Because I thought it was only obvious when he went over to Angela and was like, oh, she's disappointed. And then he does the whole, like, dude, Sean. Like, I felt like that was the obvious part. Yeah. But up until then, I thought he was acting, like, mostly normal, a little more like outgoing than usual.
Yeah.
Well, he came in without a puss on his face. And that's very unlike Sean.
Yeah. They could have even done an even better job and had him like holding a flask or a beer bottle or something.
Something, yeah.
It was just very subtle compared to like if you watched a show today, it would be very, very like, over the top.
Shirt, like something going on.
Well,
he's drunk.
It makes me think of the last time that we saw Sean and Corey drunk in that episode of which I totally know the name of.
We loved that episode.
We loved that episode and they actually did do a very good job. But one of the things that he promised to Angela was that he would not drink anymore because he gets mean when he drinks.
Yeah, that was the thing where this is where, okay, on one hand, I really like that they're following up on Jack and Sean saying, you know, this is a family issue we like have known about. We're not going to drink. We never really saw the aftermath of like them going to counseling. And so I kind of like that they're bringing this back, that they're reminding us like, hey, this is an issue. But I also kind of wish they had like had one episode in the middle where, like, they maybe talked about Sean getting counseling for it.
Well, yeah, it would have been nice to see him and Jack together, just in general. And I think that would have been a good way to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he is in a state right now.
Yeah, so everyone's kind of doting on him. You know, Angela suggests that they take a walk around the block. And he becomes a little bit more and more volatile with people you know, trying to baby him. And ultimately, as Will mentioned earlier, he starts lamenting how he and Angela don't have moms. He's an orphan. He's all alone. He has no parents. And it gets sad really, really quickly.
Yeah, especially because he's saying, my childhood is over. I never had any parents. And then it's like he's taking it out on himself. I think a lot of this gets internalized within Sean of like, did I not deserve parents? Why did nobody want me? Why did I get abandoned so many times? And then on top of that, he hates that it's bothering him so much. And so he's then taking that and turning it into self-hatred and loathing, where he's just like, oh, stop whining. I hate you. I hate you. I think all of that is just so rough, on top of the fact that we're only a few months out from his dad dying. And so he's still processing that grief. And then just to get wham slammed with like the, I'm not your real mom, you know, like that's not easy, especially, I don't know, Will, do you think it has also anything to do with the fact that like they're celebrating Alan's birthday and Alan is like, you know, for all intents and purposes, like a really great dad?
I think maybe it amplifies it, but it's not like because of that.
No, like, yeah.
It happened to happen on the same day. So like Alan was already doing the dad thing in that scene of like, come in the next room, like he was going to have a conversation with him. And like he does to like Corey and Sean and maybe Morgan, we don't know. But yeah, I mean, Sean obviously like sees that, and they've made like little mentions in like past seasons when they watched him when Chet was away, of like,
yeah,
them being like sort of parents to him, but mm-hmm. not like officially.
Well, that brings me up to kind of the next point, Will, where the Matthews actually ask if they can make it official. They say, yeah, we can adopt you, we will be your parents. What do you think of this? Like, did you feel like this was an appropriate thing to ask for, or ask if he wanted that? It's obviously a sweet gesture, but I'm curious, yeah, how you felt about it.
I thought it was sweet. I thought it was like a nice thing of them to do. Like, they've always been there and they're just like committing to that, like, oh, we'll be here for you for whenever you need, for forever. And I think that's beautiful. I think that's great. I mean, what did you guys think of that?
Yeah, I think it's tough. Part of me wants to say like, do it when he's alone. I think it's a little bit too much pressure in like a group setting. I mean, it's not surprising, right? Like you said, they've always taken Sean in. They've always treated him like another son. And I love Amy saying like, do you need a mom? Like, I'm a really good mom. I got references. Like, I really loved that. And I love Amy saying like, you've always been a part of this family. Like, we should just make it official. But I don't know, Sarah, like I ultimately really am happy with how it ended up, where Sean is just like, I don't want to lose my like identity as a hunter. Like, I think you can have it both ways. I think you can be a family member of the Matthews without needing the Matthews name, you know?
Yeah, I do agree with that. I guess, I think like if Sean was a little bit younger, under 18 when he lost his parents, I think that that would be a really nice and kind gesture. I think that at this point in his life, it's, you know, he's starting to gain his own identity outside of his parents as like what it means to be a hunter. Also, if he gives up the hunt, not that he would change his name, but say if he would, if he becomes a Matthews rather than a hunter, that loses the connection with Jack as well.
Yeah. And I think like something that is probably really stupid to bring up, but like would matter, is also like the financial aid aspect of school. Mm. Like if he doesn't have his parents as like, to put on those like financial aid papers, he's going to get more aid versus the Matthews who have more money. Like he's going to get less aid. I do think there is like a financial benefit to also staying a hunter, which I know is not like, you know, the point. It's a very emotional decision, mm-hmm. but like would be something you'd want to consider. I like ultimately that, like, I like that Sean does still appreciate the gesture and like, mm-hmm. and we'll get there with like what he gives Alan. And I really love that. Like, it wasn't no, you're not my real dad. Like it was I really love everything you've done for me, but I want to keep the hunter name, you know?
Yeah.
He still has that connection with his dad. Like he made peace with it. He was never overjoyed with how his relationship with his dad went like all the way up to the end, but he forgave him and he let that go.
Yeah.
And it's just like a lot to get into that again.
Oh yeah, we should have known, Sarah, that this was during December because Sean leaves and is followed by a Santa.
Yeah, we're stupid bitches. I don't know what to say.
I totally forgot about the Santa.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense because then that means that literally Corey and Topanga got married in the middle and took a honeymoon in the middle of the school semester.
People, I know,
it's just trying to be logical. Yeah. That's it.
It doesn't make any sense. It
doesn't make sense.
They got married during like Thanksgiving break and like left for it. Doesn't, so that's why we thought that was later. But yeah, now it's Christmas because he's getting followed by a Santa.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do love this moment where he thinks it's Corey. And it's a Santa, and he's like, oh wow, he didn't even follow me. I guess when he gets married, that's the end of me. And the money, the Santa leaves, and there's Corey. I did love that little like bait and switch where the show wanted you to think for like a hot second that Corey wouldn't follow him.
Yeah. Oh, in the last scene, one little thing, when Amy says that she has like references for being a good mom, I just loved Eric's line about like, best I've ever had.
Yeah. That was good. Yeah.
So, yeah. We can move on from that.
But this is, I thought this part to me was one of the more annoying Corey moments when Sean says he wants to go to the cemetery to like visit his father's grave. And Corey is just like, oh, I thought we'd get pie. Like, I really hate cemeteries. And it's just like, you need to suck it up and go for your friend. Like, I don't give a shit if you hate cemeteries. Like, Sean needs you right now.
Like, I don't know if he's trying to go back to that truck stop where they got the pies, but like, that's like the one place they can fix Sean. Like, you should just say yes and be a good friend.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
that bugs
just
me,
selfishness. So. It that's what it is. It's if your friend wants to go to the cemetery, even if you hate cemeteries, who likes cemeteries? But even if you hate cemeteries, you should just go. Like, it's not about the pie.
Yeah.
Maybe pie later. I don't know. Pie tomorrow. Pie on Christmas. Yeah.
Get a pie on the way home and eat it.
Yeah. And I really hated the line that Corey says of like, my family's at my house. Like, what's waiting for you at a cemetery? It's like, Corey, you know the answer to that.
That's his dad.
Like, not everyone feels the need to like go to a cemetery to speak to their like deceased loved ones, right? Mm-hmm. Like, some people talk to them other places or wherever. But like, if that's where Sean needs to go to feel like he has some sort of familial connection, or like, you don't even know Corey, like, you have no idea what's going on in Sean's head. Maybe Sean wants to go there to ask, like, are you okay with like me becoming a Matthews? You know what I mean? Like, maybe that's what the move is. And so, and it's very annoying to me that Corey is being so short-sighted and not like understanding what Sean needs in this moment. As usual.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
But yeah, they do end up, he does end up going with him to the cemetery. And I really like, I don't know, Sarah, how is it working for you having Chet come back in like ghost form?
Okay. So it's the reason why I chuckle is because for whatever reason, it works with Chet, but we just saw something kind of similar in Dawson's Creek again. The parallels between this season and
weird,
Dawson's Creek season, it's been a little weird, but, for whatever reason, it did not work for me in Dawson's Creek, but it did work for me in this episode. And I think it's because Sean is talking to his father as if he was talking to a headstone, or sometimes when you speak to people that are no longer with you, if that is a cemetery or wherever in the backyard or however you do it, it's like he's talking to him in that way versus what we saw in Dawson's Creek where it was supposedly like a like kind of like a flashback. So it does work for me here because I don't know, like, I guess
no, like, I think I know what you mean, because on Dawson's Creek it was played for flashbacks and here, like you said, the moments where Sean is picturing Chet or having conversations with Chet are at the gravesite or like in the trailer, right?
By himself. It's really like he's talking to himself.
Exactly. He's imagining what his dad would be saying in those moments. And that's why it works. It works for me. I think like, I love that they can bring Chet back in these moments where Sean feels like he needs advice and like he can go to his dad and imagine what his dad would say. And I think like, I don't know. I think it really works here where, like you said, I think for Sean to be alone, it has, that's how it has to be for it to work well.
I think it worked really well because there's been such a disconnect from Chet. Like, it's been like a minute. So it hits harder emotionally. And his dad is very predictable. So like, he knows exactly what he would do. He knows what he would say. Mm-hmm. Like, he was in a pattern for like his whole life, or at least all that Sean ever saw.
Yeah.
So he knows how he would feel about basically anything going on.
Well, the one tiny thing that bothered me is, like, it made sense to me that Chet would say, the reason I didn't tell you is because I was trying to protect you. Right. Like, I was trying to protect you and everything. Like, and he talks about how, like, nicely, like, Sean is keeping up the gravesite, bringing flowers. And the only thing that kind of didn't make sense, and maybe I'm just like misunderstanding the episode, was when Sean says, oh, my mother was a stripper. Like, how would he know that?
Well, yeah. Exactly. Unless he got that
from like the 23andMe stuff. But I don't think they've ever mentioned that. So that's why I was a little bit like, well, that he wouldn't know, and that makes no sense.
They didn't up until that point. Maybe he's just like taking a swing, like, knowing who his dad was.
I just had a feeling, like, because then he says, oh, did you love her? And he says, I did. It wasn't enough to hold her, though. And I felt like that's what Sean would have wanted to hear, that he loved whoever his mom was, when in reality, it literally could have been a one night stand. Yeah. And like, then Chet ended up with Sean. You know what I mean? That part, I just, the stripper part bothered me simply because it doesn't make sense for Sean to have that information. The everything else, though, that Chet says is like, Verna loved you. Like, you know, you come from like just a really long line of lousy people and you got dealt like a really bad hand. But if the Matthews are offering to take you, like, absolutely, you should do that. And all of that very much feels like what Sean would imagine Chet would say, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious, maybe in this mysterious black book, maybe he did mention how he knew his mother, and maybe it did say that she was a stripper. That's like my only guess.
It just feels like when Sean finds it out, he's like, a stripper. Like, he finds it's like he's saying it like he's heard it for the first time.
Yeah. You know who directed this episode? Fred Savage.
The only other thing that I thought was interesting that very much felt like I forget what they call it, where like when someone has died, you like always talk about them in such like flowery language. Like, you don't usually besmirch the dead. Was when Chet is just like, I tried. And Sean's like, oh, you were a good dad. People like me. I had friends. And he says, you stayed, you raised me. And I want to be like, are we just forgetting about the moment that Chet literally ditched Sean at the Matthews for a couple months?
For a year.
Like, it was a while.
And then he lived with freaking, what's his face, Turner. Like, again, the continuity on the show has never been very good.
Yeah. Since the last season, like, I think it would have been really nice if they brought Mr. Turner back. And like had like him have a conversation with him.
Yeah. Well, like, Sarah, said he's in Girl Meets World or whatever, right?
Yeah, way off in the future.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's like funny how they're kind of rewriting it. I understand why they're doing it, because they're trying to paint Chet as like this, like, no, you didn't have your mom, but you've always had Chet, even if he is like unreliable, which is like, not really, but you know, that's fine if we want to just erase that.
Yeah.
But once again, it's a conversation that he's having with himself, and you have to understand or have to think that there's probably some level of denial and, like you were saying, like rewriting his relationship with his dad because his dad's no longer with him. So it, once again, like, it kind of and this conversation is not really happening in reality. So it kind of makes sense that Sean in his mind kind of rewrites it to make the narrative benefit his father greater. And also another thing that happens is, like, sometimes you, especially when you have like a relationship that you're comparing like he's comparing his relationship with his mom to his relationship with his dad, he's kind of telling himself that it was a better relationship than it actually was, because number one, that hurts less than realizing that he doesn't have a good relationship with either of his parents, but also it's a lot of rewriting in his own mind. And it's kind of like I almost wonder if this show is smart enough to realize that that's actually what's happening versus this is a continuity error. And I kind of want to make the assumption that maybe it was a little purposeful, but who knows?
No, I think you're right, though. I think Sean would say you were around, you stayed. Like, that is what Sean would say.
Especially comparatively to Verna.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think with how we left off with Chet, it ended up like in a good or at least okay spot.
Right. He even says, he
remembers.
Yeah. He even says, like, I tried to tell you at the hospital that I was like really proud of you.
Yeah.
And I really did love, like, Chet always does bring a little bit of comedic relief. And that's why I think him and Sean bouncing off one another is so great, because, like, he's almost like an older, like, redneckier version of Corey.
Where I can see that.
The funny, because he's like, oh, I couldn't really hear you. I was going, ooh. he does bring the funny. And I always think that, like, something that Boy Meets World does really well is, like, Chet wasn't around as much as I remembered him being, like, with my own memory of the show.
Same.
But he's such a full character. Like, we know who this guy is. I mean, every time they bring him back, I think they do such a good job of, like, giving him those lines that it's like, yeah, that's exactly what Chet would say.
He's a pretty consistent character throughout.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe this would be, like, the most inconsistent along with the rest, but he's still, like, admitting his faults throughout it. So I think it fits in with who he was.
Yeah. And I do, like we were saying, like, the using Chet, I like that we get, like, him saying, oh, I can get a little sleep, and he walks away, and that's when Corey comes into the frame, and he's like, oh, did you do what you needed to do? Like, we very much are like, okay, he was speaking to the gravesite and imagining what this conversation would be like.
Right. Yeah, it's very interesting. It quite reminds me of my 11th grade film project that I did during film camp.
What did you have to do in your 11th grade film project?
So I went to film sleepaway camp because that's what suburban white girls do. And what we did was 3 weeks and three movies. And one of my movies was very like this, like, oh, it's very trippy, having a conversation and then you reveal that it's a ghost, or like you're talking to yourself the whole time. And then like Hallelujah played at the back because, you know, I'm a dramatic bitch. It's so bad, but I think I have the DVD of it still. Maybe
need to watch that next time I visit you, because that sounds like a great time.
It sounds really embarrassing, actually.
Exactly, which is why it will be a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do like Corey saying in this moment, like, he's like, Topanga and I got married. Like, I wish you could have been there. He's like, Sean's gonna be okay. Like, I liked that from Corey at the very least, that he is like, you know, having that moment where he's saying to Chet, like, we're here for him, like, we've got him, you don't have to worry about that.
Yep. Yeah, I think that ultimately, I think that it's good that they talked about this together. And then they go home, and it's still Alan's birthday party because he loves a birthday.
He does. Everyone stayed. And Sean, like, right away is just like, I can't be a Matthews. And I did like Alan's reaction where he's like, I get it. Like, but just know that it's always, you know, it's always going to be on the table. The offer is always going to be there.
Yeah. And I think he is a member of the family, even not in name. Like, they don't need to adopt him. Like, he's old enough to be on his own now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I think that step is really kind of unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
And we get the really sweet moment where he still, like you said, like, he's like, I have a dad, but that doesn't mean that he can't have another father figure in his life. And so he gives Alan the, like, handprints from when he was a kid in this like circular thing. And I think it says like to my dad or something on it.
It does, yeah. I thought that was really sweet.
I did love Eric being like, look at how stupid it is. Dad's gonna hate it.
I'm like, no, this is from both of us. After he realizes that he loves it.
I loved that moment. Yeah. It was so dumb.
Alan says, I'll keep it for the rest of my life. And yeah, I thought that Eric was really funny in that moment too.
I love when he puts his hand over one of the handprints to be like, look at that's mine.
Yeah. It's like, well, over here is Sean's right hand, but over here is my left hand.
Yeah. It was definitely so stupid, but it was so funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Sean has one request from Alan. Can you please yell at me just like you do Corey and Eric?
Don't make Alan do this on his birthday. Like, no one wants to yell at someone on their own birthday.
I feel like he already does. Like, he's yelled at him plenty.
Oh, he's definitely yelled at him.
Do you not having the dad talk just earlier in the episode.
He's yelled at him a lot of times in these episodes. This is not new.
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess he's just like, yeah, I need more of that.
I guess now he's saying, like, you can yell at me and I won't give you, you're not my real dad, like, back.
You can yell at me. I said, you are my real dad. Alan gives him a little piece of his mind. Don't drink, you know, leave the sass out of this. I'm a Navy SEAL. And apparently he is a Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's pretty much it. And kind of, you know, it's mostly like, why are you drinking? Or I think they're still underage, so like, definitely,
yeah, why they're are not you drinking? 21 yet. Yeah, no, and I love how he gets some digs in at Corey and Topanga too, or he's just like, you're gonna want to buy a house and you're gonna come to me, and I got news for you, get a job. Yeah, but no, I liked this. Like, it really felt like a good way to end the episode. I mean, I don't really care for Alan's yelling, but if this is what Sean is requesting, you know, sometimes Sean does need a little bit of tough love. And I thought, like, it's a beautiful episode. I think 9 times out of 10, if they're doing a dramatic Sean episode, it's going to be really good. Mostly because I think Ryder Strong has these dramatic, like, acting chops that he can pull out in moments like this. And it's really well done.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. What did you think of the episode overall, Will? Would you say it was like better than average for the season?
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's in the top half. It's like, I like some of the more recent ones.
You liked the honeymoon ones.
Was good. Like, there was a lot of good comedy recently. But like, a little earlier on, like, there was some poor episodes that were definitely worse than this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was a really good episode. Really good Sean episode.
Yeah. What have you guys thought of Topanga this season?
I don't know. I feel like she's been made into a caricature of herself as well, where she's very, like, wifey.
Yeah, I feel like she's been made into a caricature of someone else, almost, because she hasn't been the smart, like, together, like...
Well, it's not really been about class at all lately, right? Yeah. Like, it's been about the wedding and now their marriage and then other people's relationships. Like, there hasn't been a moment where they're really in class a lot for us to have those Topanga-y moments.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that she's kind of in this position right now where... Yeah, like, I think that she is seeing herself more as a wife than an independent person. I think that, sadly, I think a little bit of her giving up Yale contributes to that, because instead of her own individual person, she's now thinking for herself and for Corey.
Right.
I know what happens in the future, and I know that that's not the direction she ultimately goes in. Like, she really does become somebody that thinks for herself, you know, chooses a career path for herself. But I think at this point in time, we have to remember, like, she's super young and she's married. And, like, I think that her identity at this very point in time is wife. And I think that we hear that a lot from young women that get married. Their world surrounds around being a wife or being a mother. And I think that she is going to, because Topanga is who she is going to tire of that. And that's why she ultimately decides that she wants to become a lawyer, and she's not going to stay in Philadelphia and all this jazz.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm just missing a little bit of that now.
Yeah. Topanga's been on a really weird journey where, like, she feels at some points like very underdeveloped. She was a late arrival, and we even when she was there, we felt like we didn't get a lot of her. Then she was very Topanga-y for a while, and then a lot of her character gets lost in her being Corey's girlfriend slash wife, right? Companion, basically.
Yeah,
that is what she has portrayed as a lot of times.
That's all the storylines, especially around wedding and honeymoon.
Exactly. But I did like her in the honeymoon stuff. I thought they had some really interesting like developmental stuff with the relationship and how they're faring through marriage. But
I think ultimately the thing is, and that's what I've gathered from, you know, listening to that other very famous podcast with actual actors in it, Podmeets World, is that Michael Jacobs, the creator, knows how to write for himself, because Corey is, of course, a younger version of himself. That's what he sees this as. Yeah. And he doesn't know how to write for women. And that includes Amy, especially. And that includes Topanga. He doesn't know how to write for women. He knows how to write for boys. And I think that that's kind of the issue. And I don't know totally how many women were in the writer's room, but
probably not a ton. Yeah.
This is Michael Jacobs' story, and he didn't do a great job with writing for women in this show.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest takeaways that we'll have. Obviously, we'll do a series wrap up podcast, but something that really stood out to me is just how little Topanga actually is having her own stories throughout the show, and how much, like, Boy Meets World, you think Corey, Sean, and Topanga. Like, that is where your mind mostly goes, right? Eric as well, but like, mostly it's that trio. And then to see Sean gets these storylines, like these single episodes that are solely focused on him, Topanga doesn't really get that. And it's unfortunate, because she's a great character, and there's a lot that could have been done with her that passes the Bechdel test, that isn't all focused on Corey.
Yeah.
And it stinks. Yeah. I wish we got more Topanga. I'll always say that, though. Like, that's me beating the same drum that I beat freaking, you know, 2 years ago when we started this. More Topanga, always. But this is a great episode. You know, I think we've had some nice episodes here where we had family trees. We really liked the honeymoon episodes. We've had some good stuff throughout this season so far. Next week we're going back to the two episode run, episodes 13 and 14, The Provider and I'm Gonna Be Like You, Dad. Off the bat, these names aren't ringing a bell, but Sarah, continuing the trend of having guests on every week through our final season,
our friend Asia is coming back. Asia's been part of the Boy Meets World's Shit 90 Shows Tommy family for many a seasons, probably since season 2 or 3. And she, last season or the season before, she was, it was just the two of you, because I had like a little thingy. So some would say that she's number 3 in the fam. Well, actually, I don't know. Like, Will was, I think, our first guest. I think that that's very noteworthy.
You probably were.
Well.
It's not going to be on that.
You were there in the. I think Will's been. I'm pretty sure we've had you on every single season.
There may have been one that you missed.
I might have missed.
I think you missed
season
one,
2 or 3.
Yeah,
but
forget about it.
I was
ruined.
That episode way back in the day about the pitcher, and I was the sports.
Oh, you were a sports correspondent. You're terrible at being sports correspondent. Really dropping the ball.
I mean, they dropped a lot of the sports stuff.
Sure, likely excuse.
I guess that is my biggest complaint as our sports correspondent. You really have not put your finger on the pulse recently.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
I was going to thank you for kind of being, like, you are, like, the husband of the pod. Like, without you, I don't even know if we would. I mean, we have your support. I take Jessica away for hours a week. I could thank you for all of that, but since you don't do your job and take it seriously, how am I supposed to thank you?
You get no thanks from us.
Well, It's been a pleasure.
And the good thing is that just because Boy Meets World is ending doesn't mean that you get your wife back. I'm still going to take her for her shit.
It's very true. You're not going to see any more of me than you would have before.
Yeah. Ever.
But it's been really fun. Like, I've loved coming on here talking about Boy Meets World every time I have. Like, it's been different than I remembered it being when I was a kid. Like, other characters, like, jumped out in my mind more than they actually appear on the show. But it's been fun to actually go back and go through it. I've wanted to rewatch for, like, years, but just, like, never did. Like, my sister had all the DVDs. Like, she got them all for, like, Christmas one year. So she rewatched them, I'm sure. But I just never did. So it's been fun.
This is the one podcast that I do that you, like, will actually listen to every week.
Well, I listen to the, like, the special ones. I just don't listen to Dawson's Creek because I can't watch that show.
It's fine. That's where I get all my, like, energy out, that I could say whatever I want. I know you won't hear it.
You're welcome.
Thank you. But yeah, that's this week's podcast. Will, do you want to do any plugs? Anything anybody should check out, where people can find you?
My wife has a podcast.
There you go.
Called Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. You're listening to it right now.
There
you go. I don't do anything.
Yeah, you mostly tweet about sports.
Yeah.
So
I
mean,
I rarely tweet like at all.
I see all your sports tweets. They're excessive.
They're not excessive.
So excessive.
Tweeted.
Well, now that baseball is over.
Like, few months.
Now that baseball is over.
Basically over.
Whatever. You don't tweet about that anymore. But
stupid Phillies that Corey's a fan of are in the World Series now.
Oh wow! Really?
They lose.
Oh my.
Well, at least Corey's going to be happy.
Corey will be happy.
Yeah.
Sarah, what else do we have going on? Where can people find you?
Weekly Dawson's Creek, weekly Boy Meets World. For Halloween, we're coming out with I Know What You Did Last Summer. If you have not listened to our coverage of Halloween Town High, check that out. All can be found on Shit 90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at Sarah Ferguson. Also, we joined Mari Forth and Sarah Carradine over at Crime Scene on RHAP to talk about the Barney documentary shown on Peacock. I Love You, You Hate Me. We are both Barney stans forever and ever.
Because did I tell you that I keep getting like emails from eBay about Barney VHSs now?
Well, good.
Oh my God. Well, I went on there because I wanted to see like how much for a Barney VHS. Just was curious, but now they just spam me with these emails about Barney VHSs.
How much was it?
I don't remember, but they were all different prices. I wanted to find the one that I used to watch repeatedly, which was like the Mother Goose one. But anyway, you can find me at the Just Sterling. I'm finishing up my coverage of Reboot on Hulu with Adam over on Posher Recaps. And we're going to be starting our coverage of Mythic Quest. So if you're a fan of the Apple TV Plus, yeah, show Mythic Quest, we're going to be launching into our coverage this week, covering seasons 1 and 2 before season 3 launches in just a few weeks. So check it out. You don't have to be a gamer to like it. It's honestly just a workplace comedy designed as a game type thing, but it's really fun. Great cast. I'm really excited to get into all of that over on Pusher Recaps. And that's all I got going on. We're heading into November here on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, so we're gonna have all new bonus content, of course, as we are winding down the coverage of Boy Meets World. We only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 more podcasts, Sarah. 8?
Damn. 8. That makes me sad.
Well, sorry to burst your bubble, but it's the truth. So
Boy Meets World is ending.
It is.
He has met the world.
He has met the world. Yeah. He has lived in the world for a while now. So we'll be back next week with 2 episodes with our friend Asia here on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, season 7, episodes 13 and 14. We will see you all next time. Have a good one. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 Shows Taught Me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.